Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In 1965, there were 180,000 Roman Catholic nuns in America. Today, there are 60,000, and many by no means fit the Hollywood image of Catholic nun in full habit. Catholic priests have been in the headlines, but now the Vatican is looking at its American nuns and asking whether some have strayed too far from traditional roles and teaching. It's a formal investigation. Some nuns say inquisition. Others have welcomed the move. This hour on Point, American nuns and the Vatican. You can join the conversation. American Catholics, what have sisters, nuns, meant to you? Have you seen an evolution in their roles, their outlooks? Do you like it? Should the Vatican? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from the NPR studios in New York is Lori Goodstein, national religion correspondent for the New York Times. She's covered American Catholic life for more than a decade. Her recent article, U.S. Nuns Facing Vatican Scrutiny, has stirred up some debate. Lori, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So give us a sense of what's going on formally, and then, you know, give us the lowdown. What's really going on here?
Well, there are actually two investigations going on at the same time, which is part of what got my attention. One is of an investigation of all the women's religious communities in the United States. And this is just in the United States. And these are just of the sisters who are living outside of convents. We're not talking here about the nuns who are contemplative orders who don't leave their convents. These are the women working in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vatican has ordered that every one of these communities is going to be investigated with a questionnaire, and then some of them, based on what results they get from the questionnaire, will be visited by a team of visitors who've taken a loyalty oath to the Vatican, and they will report back all those teams of visitors, and then there is a woman religious, she is a mother superior of her order who is in charge of this, she'll be reporting back to the Vatican.
Okay.
That's one investigation. Mm-hmm. But the second one is of an umbrella group of American nuns called the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. This is coming from the Vatican's Doctrinal Office, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which does look at church teaching. And they're looking at, is this group upholding church teaching?
And this is the office formerly known as simply as the Inquisition, as I understand it.
It is. And it is the office that Pope Benedict headed before he became pope for many years.
Okay. And why has this group drawn the attention of the Vatican in particular?
Well, this group's been on the Vatican's radar screen for many years, probably beginning with a visit of Pope John Paul to the United States when the president of the group, Teresa Kane, greeted the Pope with a call for women's ordination in a public ceremony. And that certainly, that got the Vatican's attention. But over the years, this group has held conferences. There have been some controversial speakers at conferences who have probably pushed the envelope in terms of theology, in terms of Catholic teaching, and have also raised some questions about whether there should be women ordained as priests, about teachings, church teachings on such things as homosexuality. And they were warned something like 8 years ago by the Doctrinal Office to steer away from those things. Now the same office is saying, look, we think you haven't done enough.
Now, when I look at the first of these, the so-called apostolic visitation that you describe, and you report the Vatican's rationale for it, it sounds pretty benign, just to look into the quality of life of women's religious institutes. Maybe there's just a straightforward, we just want to see how people are doing explanation here.
Right. But usually apostolic visitations take place when there is has been some wrongdoing or a serious concern. For instance, the last one in the United States was of American seminaries. And this followed the sexual abuse scandal. And there was some thought in the Vatican that perhaps seminaries weren't screening candidates well enough, weren't forming men well enough in terms of teaching on sexuality, on celibacy and chastity. And so they looked into the practices of seminaries. But that resulted from a clear scandal. There is another apostolic visitation going on right now of the Legionnaires of Christ. Now, this is a men's religious order that has a large wing attached, lay people. It's a very conservative group. Their founder has now been unmasked, really. He passed away, but he's been there have been allegations for years of his sexually abusing young men, and now a woman has stepped forward to say he fathered her child. Now, this is the founder of this religious order. This throws into question the entire foundation of the order, so the Vatican is conducting an apostolic visitation of them.
So these visitations are serious business.
They are. These are the kinds of things that usually trigger a visitation, which is of a different magnitude of concern, and it also implies the potential for discipline.
So are there here, there may be doctrinal questions, you mentioned some of them, on the primacy of the Church, on the road to salvation, of views on male-only priesthood and homosexuality. Are there lifestyle issues that may come under scrutiny in the communities of sisters that are to be examined?
Well, they might. We don't really know. I did interview the woman who is conducting the visitation. Her name is Mother Mary Clara Millay. And the way she put it was that if these religious orders are living in consistency with their own constitutions, if they are, you know, doing what they agreed to do, and also if they're living in fidelity to Vatican teaching. So those are two things that they're going to be looking at as criteria. Now, what she said was that this is not an attempt to make all sisters live alike. There has been some concern among nuns who are living on their own. They have left convent life. They are living in apartments. They are working professionals. They don't dress in a habit or in religious wear, and many of them are much more involved, I would say, in their secular and professional pursuits than they are with their orders. So there's some concern among them that the Vatican is going to recall them, bring them back to living in community, to put more more supervision over them. But I think it is unclear. There is, though, underlying all of this, as you mentioned at the very beginning, the concern for the declining numbers of women religious. And one of the things the Vatican will be looking at is, what are you doing to attract women into the novitiate? Are you succeeding? Are they staying? There is a lot of interest, among women of all ages in coming into religious life, but whether they retain them is an open question.
Lori Goodstein, it's so good of you to be with us. I wish you'd stand by for a minute. I want to turn to one of the sisters who you've quoted, who's become quite prominent in this whole chapter, joining us from Berkeley, California, Sister Sandra Schneiders, a professor at the Jesuit Theology School at Berkeley there. She teaches courses on the New Testament, Christian spirituality, religious life. She's a member of Sister Servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in Order in Monroe, Michigan. She's expressed concern publicly over the Vatican's inquiry into American nuns. She wants to make clear she's speaking for herself here, not her order or theology school. Sister Sandra, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm happy to join you.
So we've read Lori's reporting, and we see you quoted there urging fellow sisters not to cooperate with the Vatican's inquiry, saying, she's quoting you here, saying the investigators should be treated as, quote, uninvited guests who should be received in the parlor, not given the run of the house. What is your problem with the inquiry, Sister Sandra?
Well, first of all, I want to clarify that statement. I never encouraged anyone not to cooperate, and I think the record will show that sisters have been more than cooperative.
Okay.
What I did say, and what I would continue to say, is that there was no consultation at all about this investigation. There was no surfacing of questions. There was no communication of concerns. As Lori just finished saying, there are no there are no allegations against sisters and so on. So this came as a complete surprise, with not even the leaders of religious congregations being informed before the investigation was actually underway. And so, quite literally, these are not only uninvited guests, they're unannounced guests, and just observing proper boundaries suggests that one should at least be sure what you're involved in before you, as it were, throw open the door.
Yeah. Sister Sundra, we just got half a minute before the break. We'll talk more, but what do you think has invited this kind of what historically is serious scrutiny from the Vatican in the community of American sisters, American nuns?
Well, frankly, I think it's a misperception on the part of the Vatican, but the difficulty is that because they haven't communicated with the leadership, they haven't communicated with the membership, the only thing we can do is guess, and there's no way to verify the guesses. So this is a very kind of uneven, well, it's not a conversation. It's kind of a one-way discussion. So I think Lori said it very well. We don't know. This is not a typical apostolic visitation. It doesn't, not in the way it was thought up, not in the way in which it's carried on, not in its motivation. So we're really, in a lot of ways, we're at a loss to know what's going on.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, checking up on America's nuns, sisters, maybe looking to rein them in. We've been joined from Berkeley, California, by Sister Sandra Schneider, as professor at the Jesuit Theology School at Berkeley, member of the Sisters Servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, based in Monroe, Michigan, and by Lori Goodstein, a national religion correspondent for the New York Times. We'll hear from another sister in just a moment. Let me get a couple of callers from Cape Coral, Florida. Mary, you're on the air, Mary.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I just wanted to comment that, you know, I'm a product of the Catholic school from the late 60s, probably through the 70s. And my daughters are both products of Catholic school. And there's a big difference from where I was in school with the nuns, who did all the teaching in the school, versus my daughters, who had very few nuns. But the nuns that were in their schools were absolutely fabulous, fabulous people.
How were they different from those in the 1960s, Mary?
Well, one, they were the Sisters of St. Joseph's, and this was outside of Philadelphia. And they were so much more compassionate women versus when I went to Catholic school, I was scared to death of the nuns that were teaching us. I mean, you know, when they talk about your hands being slapped with rulers, we were. So there was just a whole difference of their personalities, and I think they still had the same beliefs, but they were just so much more encouraging and more sensitive. You know, one nun in particular who I just absolutely loved that my daughters had, was fabulous, and also how their teachings. I mean, my daughters both went through the Rainbows program, which the sisters provided at the Catholic school, and that's for children who were either from a family that was divorced or a parent or a sibling died, and it was a counseling program. And I couldn't believe that they actually offered these programs to kids, especially divorced kids.
So by your lights, your experience of whatever evolution there's been has been a good one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a very close relationship with these nuns that were in my daughter's school, and we're still, you know, we've moved, but we still send postcards to the one. And I just think it's a shame. I think the Catholic Church and the Vatican there should be more priority on the nuns and what, you know, how they are in the Catholic community. Mm. They've always been in the background. You know, so why not focus on the positives versus this, you know, this inquisition? Why not focus on the good things that these women are doing for the church and they're doing for the school?
Mary, we appreciate your call very much. Thanks for being there. I want to welcome one more voice in right now. Sister Mary Troutman joins us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She is a practicing attorney, a member of Sisters of Divine Providence from Allison Park, Pennsylvania. 53 years there. Her legal work involves helping senior citizens with legal issues, from guardianship to Social Security and documents. She's also worked as a teacher, a healthcare administrator. She, like Sister Sandra Schneiders, has expressed concern over the Vatican's inquiry into American nuns. Sister Mary Troutman, thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You've said, you've told us, that the inquiry from the Vatican feels chilling and harsh. Why?
Well, it was so sudden, the suddenness of it, and seemingly without warning and without basis. But now, I have learned that with respect to my own congregation, the visitation has already occurred. And by the way, that is the proper term, visitation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was a positive experience. So, you know, from my own congregation standpoint, this isn't a problem. But I am concerned, and I share Sister Sandra's concern about the suddenness of it.
What do you think is on the line here? Maybe I'm not sure what kind of evolution or development of the, you know, women religious over these years do you think maybe may draw fire here? You've expressed concern that the whole sort of post-Vatican II way of life may be revisited. But what do you think will draw scrutiny or maybe on the line?
Well, I'm not actually sure, as no one really is. And by the way, there's a whole website devoted to this. It's www.apostolicvisitation.org, apostolic visitation, mm-hmm. all one word. But over the years, you know, since Vatican II, part of Vatican II was to encourage religious to be where the people are, to attend to the needs of the people of God. And so religious, the way we do everything, we threw ourselves into that wholeheartedly, and people began feeling called to minister in different ways, and not just in the traditional ways of teaching in parochial schools and serving in Catholic hospitals. So one thing led to another, and here we are reaching out to the people wherever they are at every step of the way, doing daycares rather than just the traditional type of school. And by the way, my own community was founded in Germany, and at the time of the Kulturkampf, which was what precipitated having the sisters come to the United States, they were no longer permitted to teach in the state schools. So what they did.
You're talking 1930s.
And 1800s, 1860s,
oh, okay.
1870s, the Bismarck and the Kulturkampf.
All right.
So what they did was they started kindergartens and sewing schools. My community was founded for the education of women and for the care of the sick poor. So that's what they did over there. And now, amazingly, we're taking care of young children here also.
But maybe it's just the kind of freedoms that American nuns and sisters have gravitated toward, feeling more free out in the world, away from the convent, away from traditional duties. Is it possible that that in itself is making the Vatican uncomfortable? Or is it the way sisters and nuns are living in those more worldly settings? What's your sense, Sister Mary?
Well, that may be possible, but I'll tell you, let me quote a wisdom figure from my own community who always said that celibacy is not freedom from. It is freedom for. In other words, we make a vow of celibacy along with vows of poverty and obedience, and that is to free us for service. And we give the service where that service is needed. And if it is not, if people feel called not, to do something other than teach in a structured Catholic school setting, then perhaps that is the voice of the Spirit who speaks through all of us, each one of us as a piece of the truth. And let me just suggest, as a practicing attorney, I'm a member of a group, a society that consists of priests, men and women religious, who are attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And we gather once a year for mutual support and for our spiritual enhancement and to do some enjoyable things together. And the opening session at each gathering gives us the opportunity to share with everybody what has happened during the past year to family, friends, community, the practice of law, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I am always struck by what these people do. You know, take care of the least among us, just as the Jesus of the gospel did.
The range of the vocations they've picked up. But might that very range be on settling to the Vatican for some reason, or the exposure to the world that comes with it, and therefore, I don't know, changes in lifestyle or attitude that may not be welcomed by the church proper?
And that is certainly a possibility, because it's different. I can't imagine that there's a European model that is parallel with this American model. And since that's what most of the Vatican officials are used to, perhaps that is the reason.
Lori Goodstein, you're listening quietly here. You've reported well. I mean, with no varnish on it, how do you really see what's going on here?
Well, partly it would have to be speculation because the Vatican really hasn't said what they're after. And I can share with you some of what I heard, but I didn't report in the piece because it couldn't be verified. I heard everything from the idea that, yes, the Vatican wants to replenish the workforce in Catholic schools and Catholic hospitals. As your earlier caller pointed out, Catholic schools now are mostly taught and administered predominantly by lay people.
But would cracking down or tightening up help replenish those numbers?
Well, what they might do is, say, redirect, women who are in their working years and who are
oh, I see. No more attorney stuff. Get back in
say,
school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I run into nuns in all walks of life, mm-hmm. and I have to second that they are doing amazing work. I mean, and you find them where you don't necessarily expect them, and they are unsung and unseen, and in part because they aren't wearing habits anymore. But mm-hmm. I've met them working at the United Nations, working in interfaith organizations. They're teaching theology at great universities. They're ministering to people with AIDS. And then one of the big kind of well-kept secrets, though it's known to Catholics across the country and parishes, is that many nuns are actually running churches. There is such a shortage of priests in this country that a lot of the administration of parishes and also the ministerial work of just caring for people has fallen to, or instead of saying fallen to, let's say sisters have stepped forward to be leaders in congregations. And they can do everything but offer the sacraments. And so a lot of what is needed in parishes now, nuns are doing. And so this is very heroic work that they've done in all walks of life. Prisons, I mean, anywhere you can think of are people who are overlooked, that's where the sisters are.
And maybe
so
they're being called back here or pushed back
to an
earlier
role. That's one theory, is that bishops who are looking at their dwindling workforces in their schools, they're having to close schools across the country. Perhaps they're saying, look, what happened to the sisters? Let's put them back in these schools. Maybe we wouldn't have to close so many of them. That's one thought. I'm not sure that that's actually what's going
okay.
on.
Then
another
what?
Theory
mm-hmm.
is that perhaps the idea would be to actually shut down some religious orders. Some of these orders, the numbers of women who are coming in are have shrunk to almost nothing, and in some orders there really are no new sisters coming in
so
at all.
So consolidation for economic reasons, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay.
A lot of these orders own property.
Yeah, we've seen that right across the country. What else? We understand that one.
So
maybe.
The idea is perhaps the bishops want to get their hands on, or the Vatican wants to get their hands on some of these properties,
mm-hmm.
Either for financial purposes or to reuse them. I mean, I'm floating to you some of the theories I heard that I did not report because I couldn't substantiate
right.
them. But you're asking me here what is really
yeah.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, that there is a doctrinal element to this because they, and I believe that it can be borne out because of the, we have some documentation from a conference that happened in Massachusetts last year. The head of the Vatican office that has ordered this apostolic visitation, Cardinal Frank Rodet, he gave an address in which he talked about his concerns with nuns in the United States. And there's sort of a money quote in there, I think, where he talks about he is concerned about American nuns who have opted for ways that take them outside of the church, outside of Catholic teaching and outside, that could also be interpreted as church service. So perhaps this really is looking at, women who have strayed too far, either in their vocation and what they're doing in their profession, or in their teaching and their belief.
Sister Sandra Schneiders, I'm looking at a speech that has drawn some attention here. This is from Sister Lori Brink. It was the keynote address in 2007 in Wisconsin to the Leadership Conference for Women Religious. One of the inquiries is focused on now, and it's a wonderful, kind of brilliant speech. But you can see how it might raise eyebrows at the Vatican. Here's an excerpt where she's talking about one dynamic option for religious life. She describes it, which she's calling sojourning. She's saying it's much more difficult to discuss since it involves moving beyond the church, even beyond Jesus. A sojourning congregation is no longer ecclesiastical. It's beyond the bounds of institutional religion. She says ecclesiastical authority is no longer fit. She's talking about it in most respects, saying it's post-Christian. Now, that's just an option she describes, but this is from a sister at the leadership conference. Do you think is that I guess, what does that represent, that kind of thinking? And might that be what's drawn the Vatican's concern?
Well, if I understand what Lori was saying in that talk, it's that there's a wide spectrum, as there is in America in general, religion in general, the Catholic Church in general, mm-hmm. that runs from the what you might call the lunatic fringe on the right to the lunatic fringe on the left. And in between, where probably the vast majority of people of religious are, is not at either end of that, neither trying to dig into a medieval form of religious life on the right or something post-Christian on the left. But I think she's quite correct to say that the enormity of sociocultural changes and ecclesiastical changes that people who've been in religious life for any length of time have lived through have certainly raised questions that would never have been raised in the church or in religious life. And some people's pursuit of answers to some of those questions may well have led them beyond or outside of outside of religious life.
Even sisters, even nuns, Sister Sandra?
Pardon?
Even sisters and nuns?
Well, there have been many religious who have left religious life. That is, they're no longer sisters or nuns. Now, the question, could a person be post-Christian and be a religious? No. But could a religious move to the point where she says, could a Catholic get to the point where they just say, I don't see myself as a Catholic anymore. I don't believe what I understand the Catholic Church to believe. So do people move that way? Sure. Sure, many people, many religious have left religious life.
Maybe the Vatican maybe they want to sort of try and rein in a culture where that sort of speculation or journey is even possible.
Well, I'm sure they'd love to do that, but they'd love to do it with Catholics in general, and they'd love to do it with religious. But you can't tell people they can't think, they can't read, they can't discuss, they can't. And if that leads a person in conscience out of the life that they started out in, then I think we have to honor that move that person is making. That doesn't mean that the nature of religious life has changed. It doesn't mean that people who are religious believe that way. But it does say, yes, it's entirely possible for someone to move outside the Catholic Church, to move outside religion altogether, to move outside religious life. And it's not our place, really, to sit in judgment on those people or to try to so limit engagement with modern questions and modern theology and other people that you put blinkers on people so they don't have any ideas that you don't approve of.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, checking up on America's nuns, its sisters, may be looking to rein them in. We've been joined by Lori Goodstein of the New York Times, national religious correspondent, by Sister Sandra Schneiders at the Jesuit Theology School at Berkeley in California, and from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by Sister Mary Troutman, a practicing attorney there, also very much woman religious. Sister Mary, I know we have to let you go. I've just got you for another second. If this is not a sacrilegious question, what's your advice to the Vatican about how to or whether to or pursue these inquiries?
Well, I'm an attorney, and so I have to lay a foundation for my response. Mm-hmm. May I comment about some things that Laurie said?
By all means.
I believe it was Laurie who said that nowadays Catholic schools are staffed mainly by lay people and even administered by them. And I would like to say that we did that. We prepared people to do those jobs, to take those positions, and I think we did an excellent job in preparing them.
Noted.
If we went back to trying to staff parochial schools with all nuns, let's be practical. Think of the resulting unemployment, which would be an injustice which the sisters would never tolerate.
Okay.
In addition, some sisters can't get, quote, jobs, unquote, in the church structure. And that's been shown time and time again. And so for reasons of sheer necessity, some sisters have been forced to seek an opportunity to do ministry in other structures besides that of the Catholic Church. Mm. I think of a sister in my own community who actually was ministering within the structure of the church. She's perfectly bilingual, ministered to a Hispanic community in another state, and she was told that her position was eliminated because they can't afford to pay for it. So these things are happening. And one other thing, from the time I was about 12 years old, when I was taught by a marvelous member of my community, I have attended daily Mass.
Mm-hmm.
We taught kids, as I was taught, that it's a value, it's a wonderful thing to attend Mass daily. We don't teach that anymore because it's not possible. The opportunity has gone away. I think in terms of my own ministry, I plan my living situation where I might still have the opportunity to attend daily Mass without taking a lot of time away from my present ministry, which is the practice of law.
And the opportunity is not there because the clerics aren't there to perform the Mass.
Exactly. And so my advice would be to try to figure out ways to make the Eucharist more available to the people. I think of an elderly family friend, 90 years old, totally crippled up with arthritis. Somebody brings her communion once a month. That's it. And
are you saying let nuns perform the ceremony, the sacraments?
Well, I'm saying that the church, the institutional church, should be looking at other options so that the faithful are not deprived of the Eucharist. Because I think deprivation of the Eucharist, well, that's the sin.
Sister Mary Troutman, speaking up boldly right there from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're very grateful for your time today, Sister Mary. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. I do appreciate it. Best wishes to all of you and to Sister Sandra and to Laurie. Laurie, I read your article and a whole bunch of people emailed it to me.
So the world is working out there. Thank you very much. Let me get a few calls. We'll get another perspective here. Matthew in Chateauguay, New York. Matthew, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just had a comment to make. Personally, I'm from a Catholic family, and I went to Catholic school. And as a person, you know, who had really grave doubts as to, you know, religion in general, I really was working that out as a high school student. And certainly there were a lot of lay teachers, but there were nuns and brothers as well. And, you know, I wasn't made to feel like I was not part of the community because of, you know, having such big doubts. And I really felt that, you know, the wonderful people that were dedicating themselves in such a real vital way to the community and did so much good work, not just in the schools either, you know, hospitals and whatnot.
Do you think American nuns and sisters need investigation, Matthew? Do you think this is
No, not at all. I mean, there's nothing more inflexible that I know of, you know, compared to the Vatican. I really think that, you know, the future of there just even being a Catholic Church, has to do with these wonderful people and allowing them, you know, they know what they need to do. They're the volunteers in the community that do so much good work. And even as a person who's a real atheist now and who developed that, while I was in Catholic schools, I really think that, the future is really going to have change in the United States or it's going to, there won't be any religious people.
Matthew, we've got the perspective, a warm embrace for the sisters, and yet you've slipped away in belief terms. But thank you for calling. Sacramento, California, Colleen, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have read many of Sandra's writings. I, too, was a woman, young woman in the church, not really being fed. I was educated by the Sisters of Providence and now work for the Sisters of Mercy. But these were women who empowered me to seek a ministry in the church. And I'm just wondering, I can't speak to the investigation, but I'm wondering if because of all the spiritual enrichment opportunities, because of the education that these most holy and brilliant sisters have offered me, if it's not somewhat threatening, to people, the hierarchy in the church, because my particular life goes well beyond now parish life, and it was the work of these sisters, and especially their work in social justice, that keeps me interested and alive in my faith, and they tell the scripture stories in a way that's creative and is meaningful and for my life, and I will miss these sisters desperately when we no longer have them around on a daily basis. But then that lay people like me can continue the charisms of these sisters because they've invited lay people to continue their work.
But you wonder if there's some kind of resistance to that empowerment. And I'll ask that, Colleen. Thank you very much for your thoughts there. Let me get one more here from Michelle in Athens, Georgia. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you see, Michelle?
Well, I'm calling regarding the sisters' role in the world and the use of their habits. And there was some question that they should continue with the habits. And I personally feel I was also raised in the Catholic Church with nuns and had a very, very positive experience. They were very nurturing and quite brilliant women who taught us everything from math to the basics of English and all of the basic subjects. But I personally believe it's harder for the nuns to live in the world without the habits, but so kudos to them who can do that. And I also think that not all of the nuns need to be in teaching. Not everyone has been given different spiritual gifts from God, and they need to be allowed to pursue their relationship with God and to discern where they belong in the world and how they can best serve God in the world.
But, Michelle, do you think perhaps American nun sisters have been given too much free rein in their vocations?
Pardon? I couldn't hear that.
Do you think American nuns may have been given too much free rein in their vocations, or that the Vatican might see it that way?
No, I don't think they've been given too much rein. I believe they need to be given, they need to.
Michelle, we're losing you, but thank you so much for calling. They're from Athens, Georgia. I want to turn right now to Gallup, New Mexico, and Mother Mary Quinton Sheridan. She's Superior General of the Religious Sisters of Mercy of Alma, Michigan. She's a founder and current president of the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious, which supports more traditional roles for women's Catholic religious orders. It's a leadership group that has welcomed the Vatican's Apostolic Visitation, its inquiry or investigation. Mother Mary Quinton Sheridan, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Tell us why you're welcoming this visitation that some have felt a bit, I'm not sure, affronted or put off by.
Well, in my opinion, this is nothing unusual. It perhaps is infrequent in our time, in our age. But with every organization, evaluation is essential. In the United States, there is a great deal of diversity. It's a pluralistic society. The temptation would be to judge the church as a political enterprise or a corporation, mm-hmm. in likeness to some democratic approach or age of democracy where there is a confusion about freedom, and I think that is a presumption that freedom or our freedoms as women religious has somehow been usurped. I cannot agree with that. The church has not only a right, but an obligation, a responsibility to evaluate the effectiveness of those persons and those aspects of the church which are ecclesial in nature, such as religious life. We have entered into a covenant in the church with Christ. Christ is the center. The church is the body of Christ. Christ, in apostolic succession, left his power, his authority, to the church. I believe that surely we are going through very interesting times. And I think in the United States, we are completely blessed with many wonderful gifts. However, I would also say that since the Vatican Council, many interpretations have been given to what is the actual meaning of what is called doctrine or the documents of Vatican Council II, and perhaps we have too many interpretations.
Do you think something has gone off course in the community of American nuns, American sisters, Mother Mary?
Well, if we judge by the distinction of faith, the faith that we see in the people of today, we would judge that, as goes the world, so will go many religious. Persons enter religious life with personal interpretation of what is the doctrine of faith. If we lose faith in the church, and the fundamental construct of religious life is that we, as a religious organization, as an institute or a congregation, have constitutions or statutes which must be approved by the church, then the law is simple. We must follow the constitutions, live them well, according as they have been approved.
If I may, I'd like to get a response there, Mother Mary, from Sister Sandra Schneiders in Berkeley. Sister Sandra, what are you thinking as you hear Mother Mary's kind of defense of a traditional view of church and roles within the church? Has there been too much personal interpretation of Catholic faith, even among sisters, among nuns?
Well, all interpretation is personal. We try to bring our personal interpretation of whatever we're reading, looking at, talking about into relationship with the tradition of the church, and that's a very long tradition. It's 2,000 years worth of tradition. It's extremely diverse within itself, the definition of theology is faith seeking understanding. We don't start with the presumption that we understand everything perfectly and nothing needs to be investigated. So the process of living in interesting times, as the Chinese proverb says, confronts us with the necessity almost daily to research, to think, to pray, to discuss, and so on, to try to steer a course in an extremely complex society. And I think Mary was making very good points that where the needs are today are not where the needs were in 1950, that the questions today are not the questions of 1950. And if we try to give the answers of 1950 to the questions of today, then rather than being what the callers have said, vibrant, alive, in touch with their issues, able to be of help to them, we simply become parators of something that maybe was useful to somebody in times past. So, yes, things are much riskier today, and that's the nature of being a human being, not being God, and not thinking that anyone else is God. And that's what discernment is about. That's what prayer is about. That's what ministry is about. And that is what contemporary sisters are trying to live. And I think, at least when I read the comments that followed the that followed Lori's article, the overwhelming response to the article was, what sisters are doing today is helping to keep the church alive. It's keeping a human face on the church. It's giving us a place to relate to God, a place to deal with our issues, to struggle with what it means to be a believing Catholic Christian in the United States of America in the 21st century. So I have no doubts at all about the health and the commitment of Catholic religious life in this country. I don't think it needs to be investigated or reined in.
But it is being investigated. Do you feel, we just got a minute here, but do you think you're about to be reined in? Do you think that's about to happen, whatever you may think?
Well, when you talk about reining in religious life, as Vatican II taught and as has been taught throughout history, is not part of the hierarchical structure of the church. It's a state of life. It's like marriage is its analog. It's a state of life, a consecrated state of life, as marriage is in the church. Now, reining in as if we were, I don't know, recalcitrant horses or something.
Yes.
We freely chose to live this life, and all of these congregations that are being investigated have all approved constitutions. And as far as I know, they're living according to them. So this talk of reining in, I think, is really very misplaced. It's like saying, you know, we're going to rein in married people.
but they are married. Sister Sandra, I'm sorry that the time is passing here. The clock is ruthless, and we're going to have to go with that. But Sister Sandra Schneiders in Berkeley, California, thank you so much for joining us. Mother Mary Quinton Sheridan in New Mexico, thank you for being here. And Lori Goodstein with the New York Times, thank you for everything today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.